How many of you have ever bought a used car before? Okay. Now, did you buy it from a dealership or from a used car salesman? Or is that the same thing? maybe that used car salesman said, hey, I want to tell you the honest truth about this car. Okay, the honest truth. Did you ever wonder, is there such a thing as dishonest truth? You know, the honest truth. Well, what's the dishonest truth, you know? Well, I'm not going to preach to you today about honest truth. I'm going to speak to you today about the harvest truth. The harvest truth. And I'm going to use one of our 22 transforming truths that many of us have memorized this month during the month of February. Now we're in March, but one of those 22 transforming truths, it's on the screen behind me, and you can look it up in your Bible if you like, because we're going to read some of the verses leading up to it as well. So open your Bible to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, we're going to talk today about the harvest truth. The harvest truth. The Lord Jesus Christ went about preaching in all the cities and villages. And people flocked to hear him. Yes, they came for the miracles, but they also came to hear him speak. The Bible says he taught like no other man taught. And that's because he was the Son of God. And he taught with authority. And they were amazed at his teaching. Crowds came to hear him. And whenever Jesus saw the crowds, his reaction always seemed to be the same. Look with me at Matthew chapter 9, and we'll begin reading in verse number 27. Matthew 9, verse 27. When Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. I often thought, what if Jesus said that to us today? What if he said, According to your faith, be it unto you? See, they had to believe that Jesus could and would heal them, or else they wouldn't have it. And sometimes we pray for things and we don't really believe it. You know, we say, Lord, help Bethel Baptist Church, but it's probably never going to happen. Yeah, we don't believe it. Okay, we've got to pray enough to the point where the Lord puts belief in our heart. Sometimes when you first start praying about something, you don't always believe it. The Bible says a man prayed, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. So sometimes, you know, you pray about something and part of you believes it, part of you doesn't. And the more you pray and the more you commit it to the Lord, he either shows you, yes, that's my will, and then you believe it, or he says, no, that's not my will, change your request. Right? But then he comes and he says, be it unto you according to your faith. Verse 30, they must have had faith because look in verse 30, their eyes were opened and Jesus straightly charged them saying, see that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. And as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitudes marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, He casteth out devils through the prince of devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Look down again in verse 37 and 38. This is one of those transforming truths that we memorized. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Father, I pray that this truth will grip our hearts today, that we'll understand it, perhaps like never before, but that your Holy Spirit would apply your word to our hearts in such a way that we go out of here changed. Lord, don't let us be cold-hearted or stone-hearted. But Lord, may our hearts be good seed for the Word of God this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Look down in verse 35. Jesus preached the gospel in every city. As we begin Missions Month, I believe it's important for us to get a vision for the gospel to be preached everywhere. Jesus said, start in your Jerusalem. But don't just focus on your own area. Focus also on Judea. That would be the next areas over. Then he said, focus on Samaria. And not only that, but the uttermost parts of the earth. And as a church, if we're going to be involved in evangelism, spreading the gospel the way Jesus wants to, we're going to have it in all four areas. We're going to be burdened for worldwide evangelism. And here this month, and especially next week, we're going to have people from around the world to help us get a vision like the Lord has. But we also need to be focused on our Samaria. This would be the people in the surrounding areas, like the United States in general. And I praise the Lord for our American flag on display today that reminds us of the missionaries that we support right here in America, as well as those in foreign fields. And our land is needy, and we need to have a special concern for our own Samaria. And then your Judea is the area close by surrounding you. We ought to have a burden to help churches who are in Arcadia and help churches that are in Bradenton and help churches. You know, we need a church to get started down in Placida, down maybe in the Englewood area. Now, I praise the Lord for many of you that come here from Englewood. And we want you to keep coming. And when our church gets strong, we'll probably start a church down there and you'll split off and have a church down there. And we need to reach every area with the gospel. And so we think of church planting. We think of our Judea. But then we need our Jerusalem. That's right here. Northport, Port Charlotte, Venice. Okay, right around here. We need to spread the gospel right around here. And if we don't reach our Jerusalem, who will? Okay, we've got to have the case for worldwide missions. And Jesus preached in every city. In verse 36, he was moved with compassion. This seems to be the response of Jesus. Whenever we read in the Gospels that he saw a multitude, he gets moved with compassion. He cares. Now, I confess to you that sometimes my heart is not right. And sometimes when there's a multitude on the interstate, I'm not happy, clogging it up. When there's a multitude at the mall or at Walmart or some of these, no offense, old folks who will not, who push their cart right down the middle. None of you do that. But they will not move to one side or the other. And they'll just take up the whole aisle. And then they'll stop and talk to their friend. You know, and you guys don't do that, I know. But you know, people that do that. And sometimes I think, I'm not happy there's a multitude. But sometimes my heart is right and warm. And I think, you know, the old person clogging the lane in Walmart needs the Lord. And the people clogging the interstate might be snowbirds come down from the north, and maybe the Lord's going to get the gospel to them because they're in our area. And maybe we'll happen to go by their house, or I'll happen to talk to them at a store, or we'll happen to meet with them somehow and be able to give them the gospel, and their vacation in Florida will be something that matters for eternity because they get saved. And Jesus was moved with compassion. When he saw the multitudes, he cared about them. He had a burden for them. When he saw the multitudes, what we see affects what we think. That's why it's so important for everyone who's a believer to experience the opportunity of sharing the gospel. If you have to, do it on door-to-door soul winning. Do it on with the people that you work with. Do it with your neighbors. But experience it, because you know what happens is when you get involved and you start to see, then you start to get moved with compassion. I know my heart was cold and hard until I started going house to house as a young person with the gospel. And I was just a young person. I didn't know what I was doing, but I just went around and tried to talk to people about the Lord. And you know what I did? Some people listened. Most people didn't. But you know all those people who didn't listen? That burdened my heart. When somebody said, I'm not interested. And I walked away from their door thinking, you're not interested in heaven? You'd rather have hell? You're not interested in abundant life on earth? You're not interested in having the greatest friend in the world to walk with you, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to help you through your trials of this life? What do you mean you're not interested? You don't even know what you're talking about. And it gives you a burden. When you talk to the people you work with or your neighbors or your relatives, and maybe they reject the Lord, it increases your burden. And the way you get it, you can't say, well, once I get a burden, then I'll go and start talking. It doesn't work that way. You've got to go, and then you get the burden. Lamentations 3:51 says, mine eye affecteth my heart. You got to get out and see the need. Get out and see the field. Get out and see the souls that are without Christ, and then your heart will get into it. Mine eye affecteth my heart. And then we come to verse 37. And Jesus said to His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. First today I want us to see the potential. The harvest truly is plenteous. I believe the Lord Jesus looks down the corridors of time and He says still today, the harvest truly is plenteous. And I'm talking about the harvest of souls. Now there are over 7.1 billion people on the planet. I looked it up on the internet and saw the clock adding numbers. It kept adding people, even as you're just watching. It just adds people to the clock. And more people are being born, some are dying. But if you count the births and deaths at the current rate, then one extra person is added to the population every 15 seconds. That means just in the time that I've been talking, let's see, it's about what? About 8 minutes, is my guess. 8 times 4, that'd be 32 people. The population increased 32 during the time that I've been talking to you. And that means 32 people who do not yet know the Lord as Savior and who need to find out how to be saved. And every 15 seconds, another one added to the population. Florida is the fourth most populated state in the United States. Did you know that? We're the fourth most populated state. We've got potential for the gospel right here in Florida. Not only that, this area of Southwest Florida, it's becoming a booming area. People are moving down here. They want to live here. The weather's nicer than up north, and the people are nicer than East Florida. So they want to move over here and get to West Florida. And I'm telling you, we have an opportunity. There are over 22,000 households in Northport alone. And translates, these are older stats, at least 57,000 people right here in Northport. We've got all kinds of potential. The harvest is plenteous. It's not like there's nobody that we can win to the Lord. No, the harvest is plenteous. All across this area, there are people who need to know for certain that heaven is their eternal destiny. All across this area, there are people who, if they were to die today, would enter into a Christless eternity. All across this area, there are men who have no idea how to fix their marriage. And so they just work extra hours at work to stay away from home because their home life is a wreck. And Jesus could fix that, couldn't He? He's done it for some of you. He put marriages back together. You know why? Because when people focus on the Lord and draw closer to the Lord, they draw closer to each other. And the Lord can fix that marriage. All across this area are single ladies who are turning to immodesty to try to get guys to like them. And they don't understand that they don't have to go about it that way. And they can have the Lord. There are mothers across this area who are at their wit's end with their kids. I'll tell you, I get a burden when I see a mom just losing it with their kid. And the reason is because nobody ever taught that mom and that dad how to bring up their kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and how to do it according to the Bible. Because when you raise your kids according to the Bible, they could be a great joy. What a joy to have Ben sing tonight. Touch my heart. And that he would pick that song that says, purify my heart. That's a blessing to a dad. And it's a blessing to everybody. But I'm telling you, there's families all across this area who could be rescued from pulling their hair out and hating family life and heading for divorce, and then their kids turn to drugs and other stuff because mom and dad are messed up, and all that could be remedied. People need the Lord. The harvest is plenteous. All across this area, there are teenagers who feel that they cannot confide in their parents. And so they go and they get advice from so-called friends who know as little as they know, and they get their life on the wrong track and get messed up. I don't know if you know this, but it's a terrible thing going around nowadays with teenagers trying to hurt themselves, like cutting their body and things like this. You know, the Bible has something to say about that. It says that's what the heathen do. It's part of worship of false gods, and it should not be a part of a Christian's life. But, you know, a lot of teenagers, they don't know, and they're not saved. They don't have Christ as their Savior, and so they turn to this hopeless stuff. Don't get intimidated if you see somebody with these big, you know, 4-inch holes in their ears with earrings and black stuff and chains and spike collar. Just think, hey, that's somebody who needs the Lord. Be moved with compassion like Jesus was. The harvest truly is plenteous. There are around us young people all over the place that don't have any idea what it means to respect authority. There are families who, if they knew, they could have a wonderful, abundant life in Christ. There are people who battle addictions, and those addictions are ruining their lives. And if they would just come to Christ, they could have victory. The harvest truly is plenteous. Do you see the potential? Do you see the potential? Verse 37 has potential, but it also has a problem. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. The laborers are few. You see, the Lord doesn't have a seed problem. The Bible says in Luke 8:11, the seed is the word of God. There's nothing wrong with the seed when we're talking about this harvest. It's not like the seed that's being planted is bad. The Bible says that the seed is the word of God. And you know what? The Bible is just as powerful now as it was 100 years ago, as it was 150 years ago, as it was 200 years ago when they saw great widespread revivals of God's people and then unsaved people getting saved when God's people got revived. We've got the same Bible. We've got the same seed. It's just as powerful today as it ever was. The problem in this harvest situation is not a seed problem. The Lord does not have a seed problem. The Word of God is perfect. As a matter of fact, it always accomplishes its purpose. Isaiah 58:11, God says it will accomplish the purpose for which I send it out. It will not return void or empty. God's Word will always fulfill the purpose that it's intended for. So there's not a seed problem. Well, maybe it's a harvest problem. No, the verse says the harvest is plenteous. There's not a problem with harvest. There's plenty of souls to be harvested. I want to say the Lord doesn't have a finance problem. Now here in 2 weeks we're going to take our faith promise offering to help get the gospel around this world. But you know, the truth is the Lord doesn't need my money. He doesn't have a finance problem. He allows me to give just so I can get the blessing. You know, he will take care of the needs other ways if I'm unwilling. He doesn't have a finance problem. It almost sounds kind of irreverent to say that the Lord has a problem at all. But look at the verse. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. When it comes to souls, the Lord doesn't have a seed problem. He doesn't have a harvest problem. He doesn't have a finance problem. This verse says he has a labor problem. The laborers are few. When it comes to winning souls, what's the problem? There are not enough laborers. Why is it that the laborers are few? I got thinking about that this week. Are too many Christians focused on their own desires to the neglect of the Lord's desires? What does the Lord desire? 2 Peter 3:9, He willeth that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's desire is for everybody to repent and be saved. That's the desire of His heart. How many of you bought something for your sweetheart on Valentine's Day? Okay, and how many forgot? Okay, there's only one other option is you don't care. Okay, let's try it again. How many bought something for somebody on Valentine's Day? And how many forgot? Admit it. Okay. All right. I'm not going to ask how many don't care. Listen, when you know that your husband, wife, or sweetheart wants something, if you can do it, if you can swing it, that's what you'd like to get them, right? Okay, now I'm so glad my wife is pretty simple. She likes candy with peanut butter in it. Okay? So I don't have to buy a diamond ring. I could just buy... matter of fact, I even asked her this year. I said, hey, I heard about these new things called chocolate diamonds. Did you hear about them? They're diamonds. They're not chocolate. But they're brown in color on purpose, and they call them chocolate diamonds. And I saw one. I thought, man, that is really unique. I said, well, do you want a chocolate diamond for Valentine's Day? She goes, where are you going to get the money? I said, I don't know. she said, no, I don't want a chocolate diamond. So what she got instead was just some candy, right? So you buy them what is the desire of their heart, though. Okay, if she wants Reese's, I'm not going to go and buy Musketeers. Right? I'm going to give her the desire of her heart. Well, the desire of the Lord's heart is for souls. And if we love the Lord, then we're going to do all we can to give Him the things that He desires. He willeth that none should perish. Matter of fact, He wanted people to be saved so badly, that He let His Son leave the glories of heaven, take on human flesh, suffer immensely, incredibly on the cross, and die to pay for their sins and shed His blood to wash the sins away. Doesn't He care about them? Isn't that the desire of His heart? And yet too many Christians are focused on our own desires instead of on what the Lord desires. Why are the laborers so few? Perhaps it is that too many Christians are committed to their own schedules to give the Lord some time each week to work in the harvest. They say, you know, Lord, I got a lot going on. I'm just too busy to work in your harvest field today. And so the crop ripens on the plant and fruit is ready to be harvested, but it spoils. And opportunities are missed, and souls are not won. Romans 13:11 says, Ephesians 5:14, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Romans 13:11 says that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And the truth is that many Christians, we're just asleep. We just go on through our weekly schedule and we don't ever set aside any time to work in the harvest field of the Lord. We say, we're just asleep about it. We think it's no big deal. But the Bible says, awake thou that sleepest. It says, now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Hey, you got saved a while back and now the fruition of that salvation, when Jesus comes again, not only your soul be saved then, but your body's going to be resurrected and saved as well. Your salvation is nearing that time when we realize all the glories of being saved. Once that happens, we're not going to be able to witness for Christ anymore. We're going to be with Him forevermore. Remember the rich man said if somebody could come back from the dead, then they'd listen? No, you can't come back from the dead. You can't come back. After you die, you can't come back after the rapture. Now is our time. Now is our season of harvest. And we've got to make our schedules so that we can invest in the harvest. Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time. We've got to buy back that time and use it for things that count for eternity. Why are the laborers so few? Our desires neglect the Lord's, our schedules are too busy, or maybe too many Christians are worried about what unsaved people will think of them more than we are concerned about what the Lord thinks of us. Isn't that true? So I think, well, you know, I don't want to witness for Christ. I could never, you know, go up to a stranger, or I could never knock on a door. Why not? Okay, are we more concerned about what people think of us than we are about what the Lord thinks of us? I mean, hey, we're in America. The worst thing that's going to happen is they're going to yell at you or curse at you or slam the door. It's not like they're going to kill you, like in China or in Cambodia. It's not like they're going to burn your house down or kidnap your kids. We don't face hardly anything in America. And yet, the laborers are few. What is the solution? Well, Pastor, we need more preaching on it. Oh, really? I'm preaching on it today. We need more preaching on soul winning. Or we need more soul winning training. Well, we've done training a number of times here at Bethel Baptist Church. What is the solution? I think the solution is right in this verse. We've seen the potential. We've seen the problem. Let's see the plea. Look down at the verse again. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now I think it's right that a preacher ought to preach on it. And I think it's right that we ought to have training on how to witness and how to win souls to Christ. But did you know that that's not what Jesus said is the answer right here? He said the answer is, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Make it a prayer. Make it a plea where you plead with the Lord and you say, Lord, the harvest is plenteous. Lord, the laborers are few. Lord, would you send forth laborers? That word send means thrust. Would you thrust forth laborers? Would you shoot them out, Lord? Shoot them out into the harvest. Shoot them out into the worldwide harvest, to Guatemala, to Germany, to the four corners of this earth. Lord, shoot them out. Lord, shoot them out to our United States. Oh, there's so many needs. Our country is falling away from God more and more. We still have In God We Trust on our money, but even they're trying to take that away. And they're trying to take God out of the Pledge of Allegiance and things like that. And Lord, we're slipping fast. Lord, would you do something in America? And pray, Lord, would you send forth laborers across this great country of ours? Lord, would you send forth laborers to the surrounding areas? Lord, raise up somebody that'll witness for you in Venice and witness for you in Englewood and witness for you in Port Charlotte. Lord, would you raise up somebody that'll witness for you in my neighborhood? And you see what starts to happen? Lord, would you raise up somebody for my street? Lord, would you raise up me? See how that works? The solution is pray. You pray to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers, and he will do it. It'll start with us. He will do it. But the solution is pray. It's the solution for Northport. It's the solution for Bethel Baptist Church. It's the solution for this pastor. I've got to pray that the Lord will thrust forth laborers. Yes, I should encourage. I should provide training. I should preach on it. But I must pray that the Lord will send forth laborers into his harvest. And folks, if we begin to pray fervently, we'll start to go ourselves. And if we pray fervently, God will answer. Because James 5:16 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, I grew up in the days when Christian schools were just really revving up and getting going. And during those years, there were statistics coming back about foreign missionaries. They were saying, you know, there are so many foreign missionaries coming back from the field, and there's not enough new missionaries going to replace them. Okay, the other missionaries are retiring, and we're having fewer and fewer missionaries on the foreign field. We've got to do something about this. And so, you know, one of the ideas they came up with was, let's have a Christian school. Now, I'm all for Christian schools, but the thinking was, you know, if we have a Christian school, then those kids will come up in a Christian school, and they'll be taught their subjects from a Christian environment, and they will be, they'll know the Bible, and they'll be so committed to the Lord that a lot of them will volunteer to be missionaries, and they will go off to the mission field, and then we'll have lots of missionaries again, if we can get this Christian school thing going. Sounds like a good idea, right? Well, you know what began to happen is, in many of the Christian schools, a lot of those young people began to get hard and cold. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay. You know why that was? Was because, I think the main reason is because they weren't soul winning. Because in the Christian school, you're surrounded by Christian people. So, and this kid you go to school with are already saved. I mean, they have to fill out their application and tell when they got saved. to get into the school. So they're probably already saved. And those kids in that school were taking in Bible and hearing so much good stuff, but they weren't ever giving out. They weren't ever witnessing and soul winning for Christ. And their excuse was, we don't know any unsaved people. I mean, we just know our friends and they're all Christian school, and then we go to church and they're all Christians, and then we go to the sports after school and we're all with all Christians, and we don't know any unsaved people. Well, somebody says, yeah, that's why Christian schools are bad. We should put them in the public school. Okay? So then there was a reaction. And some churches said, yeah, we're not going to do Christian school. We're going to put the kids in public school so they can witness for the Lord. And you know what happened? They weren't strong enough to witness for the Lord. And the public school overwhelmed many of those young people. And they began to become worldly Christians. And pretty soon, and this is my teenage years, pretty soon they started coming up with so-called Christian music that would sound like the world's music. Because they became worldly Christians. And nowadays, what do we got? We got a whole bunch of churches that are pretty much like the world, except they throw in a little bit of Bible here and there. And they even have dancing and smoke machines and disco lights in churches. And they call it worship. Okay? Help me worship you with praise that honors you, the song said today. Yeah, that's what we need. Well, boy, all this, so you say, well, this Christian school thing, what happened? Okay, here's what happened. They neglected soul winning because what I found is Christian schools that were connected with a church that helped the young people and adults to go out soul winning every week. Those Christian school kids that went soul winning got a burden for souls. And they came back to Christian school and they wanted to learn English and they wanted to learn math because they could then witness to people and relate to people who liked math or their neighbor who's struggling with algebra. They could help them. And the Christian schools were pretty much academically ahead of the public schools and they could help their neighbors and so forth and then witness to them. And they came back to Christian school hungry in Bible class. They wanted to learn the Bible. They wanted to, when the teacher started talking about different things, they'd say, what was that reference again? Because that came up last week when I was trying to talk to somebody about being saved at their house. When I went door-to-door soul winning, I met some of those Jehovah's Witnesses that don't believe that Jesus is really God and God in the flesh. And what's that verse again, teacher? And there was a hunger because they were giving out. But the answer to the lack of laborers in the harvest was not the Christian school. The answer is, pray ye, the Lord of the harvest. Now the Lord used some Christian schools to raise up laborers, but it wasn't just because they went to a Christian school. It's because they had pastors, parents, and teachers who were praying, Lord, thrust forth laborers into the harvest. And Lord, I don't even mind if you thrust forth my kids. And if you send them to Cambodia, where I might not see them for years and years, and they might have kids, and I might not get to have the grandkids on my knee, but that's okay, Lord. Thrust them forth into your harvest. See, a lot of Christians are selfish. They say, Lord, I want them to serve you, but I want them to serve you and live in the United States, where I can see them. And we don't pray fervently that He'll send forth laborers into the harvest. And sometimes with youth ministries, you know, I'm all for having fun with teenagers. I love to have fun. I'm still a teenager inside, you know. But the idea of a youth ministry is not just to have a bunch of fun. It's to train them and then to pray for them and say, Lord, send forth laborers into your harvest. Oh yeah, we need Christian businessmen and we need that. But you know, we need laborers in the harvest, Lord. Send forth laborers. Put it on somebody's heart that you want them to serve you in what we call full-time Christian work. Lord, send forth laborers into your harvest. How does that happen? We pray. And here at the start of Missions Month, I want to call upon Bethel Baptist Church. That's the people, not the place. I want to call upon all of us to pray like never before. Lord, thrust forth laborers into your harvest. And then get specific. Pray to Him about the worldwide harvest. Take that sheet that we got from that missionary Brent Marowelli about First Bible Ministries, where he gave us a list of countries that do not have the Bible yet in their own language, and begin to pray. And then pray Narrow it down. Pray the Lord will thrust forth laborers in the United States and into Florida and into Southwest Florida and into Sarasota County and Southern Sarasota County and Port Charlotte and Venice and Northport. And narrow it down. And let's pray fervently this month. Lord, thrust forth laborers into your harvest. And I think the Lord will do it. Because if he tells us to pray something, it's got to be his will. I don't know if it's his will for my Aunt Jemima to get better. But I do know it's his will for people to be saved. And I know it's his will to thrust forth laborers. Amen? Amen. Would you join me in prayer about that this month? And then let's be faithful. Let's be open. Let's let God fill up our hearts as we focus on world evangelism and local evangelism during the month of March. Let's say the verse together since it's one of our transforming truths. Ready? Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Matthew 9. 37 and 38. Father, I pray that you will drive this transforming truth into our hearts. Lord, it will transform our lives. These two little verses, if we could apply them and put them into practice. Father, change us today. Let us reach multitudes for you. Lord, I don't know, but maybe sitting before me, there's somebody that you're going to thrust forth into the harvest. Maybe it'll be to a foreign field and you're going to call them to what we call foreign missions. Maybe it'll be here in the United States and you're going to call somebody to home missions. Lord, I pray that you'd thrust them forth. Maybe it'd be someone that you're going to thrust forth into the local harvest right here and they're going to have their soul set on fire to reach people who are groping in darkness waiting for the word. And Father, we're going to see some soul winners raised up at Bethel Baptist Church. Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I'm going to obey your command this morning. And right now I pray that you would send forth laborers into your harvest. Lord, may we pray it all this month. May we continue to seek your face, to ask and seek and knock. Lord, may we seek you for worldwide evangelism. Lord, may we also let our eye affect our heart as we go and see the needs. We pray this all in Jesus' name. We'd like to thank you for listening today. If the Lord has especially touched your heart, or you've made a decision for Christ, or perhaps you just have some questions you'd like to ask, please go to our website, www.bethelbc.info, and under the main menu, click on the word contact. Again, the website is www.bethelbc.info. It's our prayer that everyone who listens to these messages would first know the Lord as their own personal Savior, and second, that you would invest your life in loving and serving the Lord Jesus Christ.